Go ahead and open to Luke 16. And for years and years, Sue and I, mostly me, my thinking was completely turned around the wrong way when it came to kingdom finances. The young man that led us to the Lord really did a good job, and during the time we were associated with him, our giving was pure. When we gave, we were not on our minds. When we gave, it was either to support the work of the kingdom, or somebody was in need, or poor, or somebody hungry. And the reward on the driving home, I don't care if you emptied your bank account, the reward, you could feel the pleasure of the Lord in meeting that need. But the young man that led us to the Lord, he eventually got married and moved to Indiana and pastored a church there for many years. And so we were left, I like to say it this way, we were left to the tender mercies of the TV preachers. And little by little, they twisted my thinking. It's not that they didn't use Scripture, but what they would do, they would lift it out of its setting. And for example, how many of you, and I'm not going to be quite as dramatic as I was the first night, but in Galatians 6, when it says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he shall reap. Does a man sow oranges? Does he sow orange seed to reap apples? No. And if you want a financial harvest from God, you got to sow finances, my brothers and sisters. Or how about this one? They would list this one out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that sows much shall reap much. Now, both of those scriptures are in the Word of God. But if you lift them out of their setting and then hook it up with other verses to, quote, make your case, little by little, my thinking came to be a farmer in the kingdom of God in my mind. I said, well, my prosperity hinges on my giving. And the more I give, the more I sow, then the more I'll reap. And they were good with that, because when you're sowing into their ministry. Now, time out real quick. They tried that with Pastor Dave one time. If you sow $1,000, you'll reap $100,000. So Pastor Dave told that minister, well, why don't you just sow the $1,000 and you can keep the $100,000 yourself? There's a reason we're all listening to Pastor Dave. You hear me? There's a reason, okay? But let's just take that verse the way they were teaching me. So your mindset is, well, I want a big, big harvest. Well, I got to sow big. Well, I did too. Sue could tell you for years. You know, I kept a record of it. Boy, I mean, and sowing. And my whole mindset is, I'm sowing big in order to reap big. Are you in Luke 12? Is that where I told you to go? Okay, well, that's wrong. Go to Luke 12. What's wrong with you? That's the one I was going to do before he changed it. All right, now, Luke 12, let's pick it up here in verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So now, this seems like a reasonable request. There's two brothers. Apparently there's an inheritance. One of the brothers is being selfish about it, looks like. And he says, well, my brother, he won't give me my portion of the inheritance. Seems like a logical request. But see, the thing about the Lord, he can look on the heart. Notice what he says here. He says, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, there's a saying in America, you know, that he that dies with the most toys wins. The truth of the matter is, he that dies with the most toys still dies. And you're going to leave all your toys here. And they're all going to be burned up in a fervent heat. And you're not going to take anything into the new heavens and the new earth except what you did for Jesus. What you did for the gospel. That's the only thing you're going to take. But now he gives a parable to illustrate this. Now, remember, this is in the context of, even when it comes to your giving, they were having me be a farmer so big so you can reap big. Isn't that right?
sow big so you can reap big. Well, he said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, God is a God of abundance. Yes, sir. Now, my job is to follow him, even if it does cut into the time a little. God is a God of abundance. My dad, he liked fruit trees. And he the property that he had up around Grand Lake, he planted these pear trees up there and some apple trees. But I'm thinking particularly of the pear trees. He planted, each one of those trees he planted with a single seed. Those trees got to be really big. And I mean, they would bear so many pears that the limbs would just wait and touch the ground. Sometimes it would literally break off. And the thing of it is, that one seed produced hundreds of pears every season for decades. And each pear, if you cut it open, has I don't know how many seeds that could produce more trees that would do exactly the same thing. Now, God is a God of abundance. He's programmed abundance into the earth. But now, what's it for? Here's the parable now. So the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And his mindset is what's wrong, see. He says he thought within himself, saying, well, what shall I do? I have no room wherefore to bestow my fruits. Now, I'm going to emphasize, every time he uses a personal pronoun here, I want you to see how much his thinking is about himself. He says, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like the American dream. Sounds like really what they were telling me. Sow big so you can reap big. God wants you to prosper, Gary. God wants you to prosper. Just keep sowing and sowing and keep reaping bigger and bigger and bigger. But then verse 20 is in here. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, usually the teaching here, teaching when people teach on this, we got to read verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure. If you underline, if you mark in your Bible, the key words are for himself and is not rich toward God. What did he say? Beware of covetousness. Plain old English, beware of greed. Now, in Luke's account, this is where he launches into the same teaching that we looked at in Matthew 6, where he says, see, this guy, his whole concern was about what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What about my provision for the rest of my life? I want to have all of this. Who was it? I think I've heard Mark say this. I think I've heard Alan say this. I know I said this in the early days when money was staying away in great abundance. I said, God, I hate this faith walk. I hate this believing you for every biscuit we have. God, can't you just give me $1 million and then I'll have strong faith? Or something like that. And that's not what he's really after. I'll tell you the truth, he's going to raise up millionaires. He is raising them up right now. He's raising up millionaires, but these millionaires are not going to have this attitude. My barns, my goods, for myself. So, for the sake of time, let's just look. When he says, therefore, he says, in contrast to that rich man, the way that he thought, having enough for the rest of his life. That seems like the American goal. You know, that's the dream. Not just in America, but many countries. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And he goes through the same teaching about the birds and the lilies and so forth. Now come right on down. Let's do verse 29. Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Now here it is. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now notice, fear not. Perfect love casts out what? Perfect love casts out what? Fear. And he says right here, see, the reason that people think like that rich man, they're afraid of lack in the future. How many times I've said in an offering in the early days, and I'm trying to hear God, you know, and we're trying to be His steward, we're trying to learn, you know, and you hear Him say, I mean, those days, I mean, $50 would have been all the money in the world to give $50 into an offering. But yet sometimes you'd hear Him say, you know, it'd be all that we had. One time $10 was all that we had. See, if it's all, it's still all. Doesn't matter if it's $10 or a million, you know, and you're leaving there, you don't know where your next biscuit's coming from. We eat biscuits. I heard somebody in Canada say they don't even have biscuits. Father, we lift up Canada to you right now in Jesus' name. Father, bless Canada with biscuits. Glory to God. Sausage gravy. Hallelujah. Sorghum molasses and handmade butter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You come down to the south where I am, when my grandma's alive, she'd make you biscuits bigger than your hand, about 2 inches thick, man. Slice that thing open and the steam coming off of it. Lather on some butter that was churned on the porch. Put that sorghum molasses, bite that thing, and the juice run down both sides of your mouth. Glory to God. I feel the anointing all of a sudden. Woo! Woo! I feel like shouting, Janet. I feel like shouting. Glory to God. Woo! Maybe it's a flesh revival, but I feel it. Glory to God. What was I preaching? Oh, yeah, okay. We're verse 31. But rather than what? Rather than spend your whole life worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, gathering into barns and, you know, oh, God, I got to have enough for the future. He says, no, no, no. He says, don't be like that. Your job is to seek first the kingdom. Your Father knows what you have need of. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. And I love this. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know one of the reasons why He likes that prayer, give us day by day? He wants to be involved with you day by day. Doesn't mean you're supposed to live hand to mouth with nothing. But it does mean every day you're to have that fellowship with Him. Allow Him that fellowship in your finances, on your job, in your business, everything that you do. He loves that daily fellowship. Now, for time's sake, we need to do a 3-week seminar right here. But come on down for a minute. Come down to verse 42. I want to talk about stewardship. And really, I was going to teach out of Luke 16, the unjust steward. Most of you have probably heard that through Pastor Dave. He broke that one for me. But there's so much teaching in Luke's account. Look here. What is God really looking for? Instead of that guy back here whose only concern was bigger barns for my goods, look what the Lord is really looking for. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward? You ought to underline that word. God is looking for stewards in the kingdom of God, where all that you have is not for your barns, for your future, for your security. But you understand that all that you have is not yours. That a portion of what you have, you are His steward in the earth. Who is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, now get this, he shall make him ruler over all that he has. Now go to Luke 16 for just a minute. This is the parable on the unjust steward. Dave broke this one for me. And rather than read the whole thing, you know what it was. The steward found out he was about to be fired. And his stewardship was about to come to an end. So you know what he did? He went to all of his Lord's people that owed him things, and he started reducing the amounts, knowing that if he did that for them, when he was put out of his stewardship, when he was fired, they would receive him into their house, and they might hire him, or he'd have a place to stay. The key to it is verse 9. Let's say verse 8. Start in verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward. I mean, he's doing something that's not even legal. But the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. In other words, according to the world system, this guy was smart. He knew his stewardship was coming to an end, and he functioned in such a manner that he would be taken care of after that ended. Now, if you want the wisdom, I'm going to paraphrase Pastor Dave. If you want the wisdom, that will make you wiser than the children of this world. It's contained in the words right after these next five words. And I say unto you. I'm going to do it. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. That word fail threw me off for a long time. It really just means when you come to an end. If you're going to be wise like that guy was wise, understand the only opportunity you're ever going to have throughout eternity to be his steward of finances is during this short lifetime that we have on this planet. If the Lord tarries, every one of us, our opportunity for stewardship is going to come to an end. He's saying during that time, if you want to be wise like that guy was wise, a portion of that money that you're stewarding, use that money to cancel men's debts, meaning tell them their sins have been paid for. Get the gospel to them. Use your money to win these people into the kingdom of God. And for all eternity, they're going to receive you into their habitations. As for me, Michael Muccio was the man that the Lord sent to bring the gospel to us. Because of that little trip where he drove to that real estate office, I got saved, my wife got saved, our children have been saved, our grandchildren, and many others. The whole ministry was birthed from that one trip. Whoever it was that gave Michael the $20 that he used for gasoline to drive that ugly Opel car to my real estate office. I know in heaven there's got to be a record somehow. I'm going to get in the file cabinets when I get there. I'm going to find out who it was. Like Dave says, I'm going to be hiding behind a pillar. That unsuspecting person is going to be walking by. They're the ones that gave that $20. When I jump out from behind that pillar, my lips will resemble a bathroom plunger. I'm a good student. I'm verbatim. I'm a good student. And I'm going to go, put a big kiss right on that person's cheek. And I'm going to say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for that $20. You don't even know what that did. Not just I got saved, my family got saved, their children, my grandchildren, and people around the world were touched with the gospel because of that $20 you gave that boy. Thank God you gave. That's the way it is, as we're his stewards. I want to start developing the mindset. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you develop the mindset, not just during conference. Lord, let's just do that. That's a good prayer. Let's do this. Let's say, Lord, help me develop a mindset. Not just during conference, but all the time. That I am your steward. All that you bless me with is not mine to consume. I am your steward in the earth. I am your hand if you want to give. Help me have a consciousness more all the time that I am your steward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we're about to give into this offering. I really only know two ways in the New Testament. One is as his steward. Sue and I, we practice, don't we? We still do it before a service. Or we'll say, Lord, if you have an amount you want us to give, we're listening. We're listening, Lord. Very often we hear exactly the same amount and we'll give. But if we do that and we don't hear anything, then the other New Testament way is 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give, not grudgingly, not by necessity, not because you have to, but because it's in your heart to do it and you want to support the work of the ministry. Amen? So just listen for just a minute. Just listen. Lord, they're listening for your voice as your stewards. If they hear you say an amount, That's what they'll do. Then if you don't hear them out, that's fine. We don't always either. Just purpose in your own heart what you'd like to give. You make checks payable to GCC, Gary Carpenter Corporation. No, that's Grace Christian Center. I'm sorry, Grace Christian Center. Will the ushers or usherettes come forward, whoever's in? We have the usherettes tonight. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. When we first started coming to the prayer center, there was a minister there from Maine. And he had a real strong... You ever been around people with a real strong Maine accent? And he would stand up here and go, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And Sue would say, "Who is this Lloyd and why should we praise him, huh?" Father, you heard what was spoken. Nobody was threatened with a curse. Nobody was bribed with a big return. Father, every penny that goes into this offering, you know, I know, and we know, it's given from the heart. It's the kind you're looking for. From cheerful givers who really just want to, that we love you. We appreciate what you've done for us. We want you to be able to do the same thing for others. Father, receive this with our love. In Jesus' name, amen.